Hare Krishna. So, just a brief revising the previous classes, like especially the second chapter, especially now that we have a very special guest today. What's your name? I forgot to ask.
David.
Yeah. Wonderful. So David is from Sydney. David, we are actually discussing about one's journey back to the spiritual world. Beyond this material nature, there is a spiritual reality. And it is describing one young boy who was a cowherd in a place in India called Vrindavan. And so it is his journey back to the spiritual world. So, okay, now if we reiterate the previous few chapters. Today we are going to discuss the fourth chapter, but first, second and third chapter, especially from the second chapter when the Gopkumar's journey begins. So what actually happened? Gopkumar, the cowherd boy, received the mantra from his guru, the mantra to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Gopal. And he was a cowherd boy, like he was in the village. He used to tend the cows throughout the day, play with his friends while tending the cows. And then in the evening, they used to bring the cows back. So that was their simple life. But upon receiving the mantra from his guru, he lost his interest for all these material activities. All he wanted is to just chant the mantra in a secluded place. And he considered, it seemed that all these associations and activities were a hindrance to his meditation on the mantra. So, one day he left home. While traveling, he came across a Brahmana who was worshipping the Lord in the Shaligram Shila. And he was innocent, he didn't know. But when the Brahmana addressed that Shila, that his worshipable, as the worshipable Supreme Lord, so he accepted that, but when he felt that his treatment was not befitting the Supreme Lord, he exclaimed that look what he is doing, how he is treating the Supreme Lord. So then the Brahmana told him that, look, I am just a poor Brahmana. I do not have the opulence and facilities to treat him with such grandeur. But if you really want to see the grand worship of the Lord, then you can go to this, the capital of this kingdom, and there you'll see how wonderfully he is worshipping him. So he goes there and he sees the king in a beautiful temple. He's worshipping the Lord and he's ruling his kingdom as the property of the Lord. He was considering himself to be the caretaker of the Lord's property. The kingdom was not his, the kingdom belonged to the Lord. And with that attitude, he was ruling his kingdom, spreading the glory of the Lord and helping everyone to become related to him. And eventually when the king died and the ministers were looking for a suitable heir to the throne, because the king didn't have any son, they found all the auspicious signs in the personality of that Gop Kumar. So they made him the king. Gop Kumar also, when he became the king, he didn't really expect that this kingdom to be his, but he was treating the kingdom as the Lord's kingdom, and he started to promote his glory everywhere. And then he got to know that how the Lord is present on the bank of the saltwater ocean in a place called Niladri Mountain, which is Jagannath Puri, where the Lord is present as Lord Jagannath, and how merciful he was. And so upon hearing that, he became interested to see the Lord. And so he left his kingdom and he went to Jagannath Puri. There he started to live just like an ordinary pilgrim, spending his days just worship, watching the worship of the Lord, and worshipping the Lord and praying to the Him all the time. And there also, when the king died and his prince, the crown prince, didn't want to become a king, didn't want to take the responsibility of his kingdom, there also he was made the king. And there he was spending his time in the similar attitude. And there he got to know about Indra, the heavenly planet where the residents have so much opulence and grandeur and power and strength. Like their body is effulgent. There they do not die. They have long duration of life. And the Lord is present there as the younger brother of Upendra, of Indra, as Upendra. So then he desired to go there, and he was elevated to the heavenly kingdom, Swargaloka. Then in Swargaloka also, he assumed the position of Indra, and then he got to know about, he saw one day the great effulgent personalities whose effulgence was like millions of suns. Those personalities came from somewhere, and everyone was very respectfully offering them worship. So he wondered who they were, and he was told that they are the residents of the higher planetary system, even beyond heavenly planet. Beyond the heavenly planet, there is the planet of Maharloka. And in this way, gradually, he was elevated from one to the other, where the Lord is worshipped through sacrifice and meditation. And he gradually went to all those places, one after another, beyond Maharloka, then Janaloka, then Tapaloka, then finally he came to Satyaloka, the region which is the abode of the Lord Brahma, the first predominating personality of this universe. So this is how we get to know the different regions of the universe. The universe has 14 planetary systems. 7 are lower planetary systems, or 7 are higher planetary systems. And this is the Earth planet, which is the middle one. Above Earth planet, this is the lowest one of the 7 higher planetary systems. Above that, there are Bhurloka, Bhubarloka. Bhurloka is this planet, then Bhubarloka, then Swargaloka, which is known as the heavenly planet. Then Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka. So in Satyaloka, he assumed the position of the controller of the universe, Lord Brahma. So there the Lord who is known as Sahasra Shisha Purusha. It advised him to go back to the earth planet. So from there, from Sataloka, he came down to the earth planet in the region where he actually was born and grew up, Vrindavan. And there he met his guru. And upon being advised by his, further instructed by his spiritual master, as he started to chant the mantra, he became free from his material body made of five elements: earth, water, fire, air and ether. And now he has assumed the spiritual body, actually, devoid of both gross and subtle body. And then he, very quickly, he passed through different regions of this material, different planetary systems of the material nature, and he came to the outer covering of the material nature. That, so here we have to understand, like, he became free from the gross body composed of five gross elements: earth, water, fire, air and ether. But still he had his subtle body made of mind, intelligence and false ego. And then he came to the seven outer coverings of this universe. The first one is the covering of earth. There he found the Lord is being worshipped as Varahadev, and the boar incarnation of the Lord. Then in the water region, he found the Lord being worshipped by the water personified as Matsavatar, the fish incarnation of the Lord. Then he came to the third layer, fire. There the Lord was being worshipped as Surya Narayan. Then he came to the region of air. There the Lord was being worshipped as Aniruddha. And then he came to the region of false ego. The mind. There the Lord was being. The ether region, there the Lord was being worshipped as Aniruddha, Pradyumna, and then the Lord was being, in the, came to the region of false ego, and there the Lord was being worshipped as Shankarshan, and then finally he came to the region of Mahatattva, there the Lord was being worshipped as Vasudeva. Then he came to the region of Prakriti, or the personified nature, Mother Nature, where Mahamaya, the predominating controller of this material nature, was worshipping the Lord in his Mohini Murti. So then he goes beyond that region and he comes to the region of Brahma Jyoti, the region where generally those who are aspiring for liberation, they reach that, they go to that region. And where he was feeling utter fear and anxiety about losing his identity in that glaring effulgence, the bodily effulgence of the Lord called Brahma Jyoti, he heard first the sound of singing and musical instruments, and then he saw a personality riding on a bull whose complexion was like camphor, and he was decorated with beautiful opulence, and he had a trident in his hand. He had on his matted hair, there was the crescent moon was decorating his head, and the river Ganges was on his matted hair. So that personality then blessed him. Initially he also couldn't recognize who he was. He was so simple, he was so informed that he did not have any knowledge of this personality. And then his principal associate of that personality, whose name was Nandishwar, he informed him about who he was and how there was no difference between him and the Lord. And so at that time, the few associates of the Lord came there, and their personality was so brilliant that the associates of Lord Shiva, although they appeared to be very, very effulgent, they became totally insignificant in their glaring effulgence. And then these personalities kept on telling him about the region above, which is known as Vaikuntha. So, and they advised him to go back to the earth planet, to the to Vrindavan. Okay, so that was the brief reiteration of the previous three chapters. So everyone now is ready to go to the fourth chapter. David, is it making any sense to you?
Some of it.
Okay. Anyway, so we are discussing. If you have any questions at the end of the discussion, you can ask us. So Gop Kumar then came to the earth planet, and he wandered around alone, observing on earth a splendor that he had never experienced before anywhere. Taking up residence in a forest, as if in a daze, he forgot everything from before. And in the course of his playful wandering, he came to Mathura. There he heard the Bhagavatam and other scriptures from the local Brahmanas. After rightly understanding the meaning of devotional service in its nine forms, he came to the forest of Vrindavan, and as soon as he came there, he found his divine spiritual master. So these nine processes of devotional service, everyone remember? Right. Okay. And so his spiritual master appeared splendid as just as before, and when he saw him lying prostrated, offering obeisances, he affectionately picked him up and embraced him. Receiving his grace, which revealed to him the most confidential secrets, he followed his instruction by practicing bhakti yoga without interruption. And such a flood of pure love of God so quickly awakened in him that he lost control of himself, and he was unable to do anything but chant the glory of the Lord and calling him out, O Krishna, O Gopal, Hari, Mukunda, Govinda, Nandakishore. So, by these names he started to chant the Lord, call out to the Lord, and that is actually Sankirtan. So the definition of Sankirtan is calling out to the Lord with all the love of one's heart. In this way he called out to Krishna and sang his glories in various ways. And at one moment he danced exuberantly, and at another sobbed out loud like a madman. He wandered here and there according to his whims, forgetting his own body and everything else. Once he thought that he saw the Lord standing before him, and he ran to get hold of him. Overwhelmed by love, he fainted and fell on the ground, fell to the ground. At that moment, the associates of the Lord arrived in a spaceship, in a celestial aeroplane, to take him to Vaikuntha. Who are those personalities? The same ones that he saw in the region of liberation, Brahma Jyoti. They came and they put him on the plane and carried him away. And when he opened his eyes, he saw that everything was different. Shocked, he returned to full consciousness and saw them beside him, the same benefactors that he met before. And as he reverentially offered obeisances to them, the associates of the Lord embraced him and reassured him again and again, putting forward hundreds of arguments. They wished to give him a bodily form like theirs. Like when one becomes eligible to go to Vaikuntha, then one assumes the same form as that of the Lord. But he refused their offer, and he preferred to stay in his same form that he had in Govardhan, that is his two-armed form, human-like form. But although he did not assume that four-armed form of the spiritual world, but he got the same effulgence and same brilliance that those personalities had. And in this way, he traveled through the path along to Vaikuntha, a path inconceivable, supremely blissful, and distinct from everything in this world. His eyes fell upon all those worlds, cosmic regions, and coverings of the universe that he had visited before. And so, in a very quickly, he passed through all that regions that he traveled before, that he reached before, and then he found that the residents of those planets were honoring him with their faces raised upwards, with their hands folded. They were gloriously showering flowers and other auspicious offerings upwards towards him. Like they were greeting him that now he has achieved the perfection of his existence. He is going back to the spiritual world. And before his eyes he saw the abode of liberation and how trifling it was, how insignificant it was when he saw that. And travelling upwards from there, he came to the world of Lord Shiva. And there he bowed down to Lord Shiva and Uma with great reverence. And they made him feel blissful with a flood of generous words, gracious words, filled with love and respect. And then he went on to the place whose garland of glories cannot be touched by the words or by mind. He arrived in Vaikuntha. What is the meaning of the word Vaikuntha? How many of you know? Yes. Yeah, the place where there is no anxiety. Kuntha means anxiety, and Vaikuntha means freedom from anxiety, no anxiety. The associates of the Lord told him that you wait here for a moment and we should take permission from the Lord before bringing you into the city. And when he was waiting there, then he saw that a personality endowed with hundreds of endowed with the opulence of hundreds of universes, and he resembled the Supreme Lord in luster and beauty. So he thought him to be the Supreme Lord. So he called out, "Oh Lord, please protect me." And he bowed down to him, but he covered both his ears and gestured for him to stop. And he said, "No, no, I'm not the Lord. I'm not the Lord. I'm his servant. And saying that, he moved on into the city. After a while, another personality came, splendid with even more power and opulence. He looked at him and thought that this must be the Lord. So the point is, in that spiritual world, everyone has a similar feature as that of the Lord. They all, and so that's why he was mistaking. So he thought, surely this must be the Lord of the universe. He must have gone somewhere as a pastime, and now he is entering his own abode. However, when that person saw him bowing down with gesture of reverence and offering him prayers, then he also spoke the same way and entered into the city. So in this way he was, I mean, when he saw all these personalities, he was mistaking them to be the Lord. However, they corrected him and reminded him that they were not the Supreme Lord. And so then finally he thought, as he watched them, he thought, what kind of Lord must it be who has such servants? Whose servants are like this, what kind of Lord must he be? Finally, the Supreme Lord's compassionate men who were guiding him came there and told him how to recognize the Lord by his special signs, like a Srivatsa sign, Kaustava jewel. Then he finally was brought to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Within that palace, he was brought to that gorgeous spiritual palace. There he saw before him, at a distance, the Personality of Godhead, Lord of Vaikuntha. He sat at leisure on the best of royal thrones, a golden throne shimmering with the glow of many jewels, the cushions of which he sat was of sewn white cotton, fine, attractive, spotless, clean, and the soft, handsome bolster on which he leaned his left elbow and upper arm appeared like full moon cleansed of its spots. He was the presiding Lord of blossoming youth. The brilliant effulgence of his sweet, attractive limbs defeated the splendor of new rain clouds. That effulgence lent further grace to his garlands, cosmetics and garments, already graced by jewelry made of gold bedecked with gems. His four shining arms, long and well built, enhanced the beauty of his bangles and armlets. Two yellow silk garments dressed his body, and charming earrings set off his rounded cheeks. On his broad chest was the coast of a jewel. On his conch shell neck, a string of pearls, and on his moon-like face, a nectarian smile. His lotus eyes were alive with playful glances. The great compassion he felt made his beautiful eyebrows dance. Rama, his ideally matching consort, standing by his left side, reverently offered him excellent pan to chew, which he accepted. The color of the... So, anyway, that is... In this way, the Lord was described. The goddess Dharani, on her hand a vessel of vessel to catch the remnants of betel nuts, constantly worshipped the Lord with the messages of slide-long glances. Anyway, Shesha, Garuda, Vishakshena, and the other leaders of his many groups of attendants bowed down before him with devotion, stood before him with palms joined above their heads, and praised him in wonderful poetic language. Sri Narada dancing and his expert singing and veena playing created such clever entertainment that the Lord and his two consorts, Rama and Dharani, sometimes laughed out loud. The fullness of the ecstasy this sight brought made Gop Kumar forget what the attendants of the Lord had instructed him. He cried out again and again, "O Gopal, my life and soul," and he ran forward to embrace the Lord. Some discerning attendants who were standing at the Lord's side held him back, and he was heartbroken. Gop Kumar was heartbroken. He cried out in helpless distress again and again, overcome by his own excessive love, and fell unconscious in front of the Lord. With some efforts, those attendants lifted him up, and after some time he regained his consciousness. With his hand he wiped out the flood of tears that are flowing from his eyes, and that was blinding his sight. And finally, with difficulty, he opened his eyes. Then he heard the Lord telling him, "The best merciful person, tell me in a deep, gentle voice, please come back to your senses. Dear boy, come here quickly." At that time he felt the highest limit of joy. He danced all around as if seized by madness and stumbled about. But with great endeavor the Lord's servants calmed him down, and at last he awakened from the trance. The Supreme Lord then told him, "Welcome, welcome, my dear boy. I am fortunate, most fortunate, to meet you here. For so long I have been eager to see you. My dear friend, you have passed many, many lifetimes without paying any attention to me at all." So this is our condition. So many lifetimes we spend without paying any attention to him. So the Lord continued to say, "For so long, hope had me dancing like a fool, thinking, perhaps in this lifetime, or this, or this, or this, he'll finally turn his face towards me." So that shows how eagerly the Lord is waiting for us to go back to him. "But you did not pay any heed to me, and so if finally he says that, "So I transgressed my eternal code of conduct and arrange for you to take your current birth. And, dear boy, in that divine district of Govardhan, my most beloved abode, I myself became your guru, known by the name Jayanta. Today you have at last fulfilled the desire to have harbored for, desire that I harbored for so long. Please nourish your happiness and mine by staying here forever. And at that time, just in front of them, appeared a number of flute players dressed as cowherds like him. They were affectionately encouraged him and gained his trust, pulled him into their midst and urged him to play his flute, the flute that Gop Kumar was carrying. In various styles, then Gop Kumar played this very dear flute, born on Govardhan Hill. And in this way, I satisfied the ocean of all skillful arts, the reservoir of all mercy, Sri Madhav, along with his associates. Though in Vaikuntha I was approached like everyone else by transcendental opulences, but he avoided them. He refused to show even the splendors that spontaneously appeared within him. He resided there in the same form that he had always had, that of a cowherd boy. Then after some time, by the Lord's kindness, Gop Kumar received the service of fanning the Lord. And getting that service, he used to fan the Lord, looking at him, fanning him with the chamara. And he constantly felt the bliss of seeing the Lord as he played for him in his flute. By the habit of his past practice, over and again, he would sometimes loudly chant in various ways, "O Krishna, O Gopal." So the residents of that planet, or residents of that place, laughing with hearts melted by affection, often came to him when he was outside the Lord's presence and spoke to him in no uncertain terms, like teachers instructing a student. And they told him, "You should not address the Lord as in that way, and don't sing his praises that way. Just recite the standard prayers about his unlimited, most amazing glories." So Vaikuntha is the region of awe and reverence and Vaidhi Bhakti. So the way one should address the Lord has very strict order, and this intimate exchange was not befitting that region. So they reminded him of that. And they said, in order to annihilate the wicked, like here we are seeing their understanding of Krishna. To annihilate the wicked and protect the civilized, and to cheat Kamsa, the Lord disguised himself as a cowherd boy by his illusory energy. Devotees of the Lord have little regard for tales of his illusory affairs. Such narrations may be suitable in the beginning of devotional practice, but they do not factually glorify the Lord. So here we are getting the understanding how the Vaikunthas see Krishna and his pastimes. They consider that it was one of his pastimes that the Lord enacted in order to kill Kamsa and re-establish dharma. But some of the residents of Vaikuntha said, among the Lord's inconceivable activities, those playful pastimes are also his, so there is no fault in chanting about them. So they had their difference of understanding also. Then a few extremely exalted devotees stopped all the others and angrily said, really? Why are you talking like this? As if you have no intelligence. Krishna is so kind to his devotees that sankirtan of any of his activities is glorious and beneficial and satisfying to our Divine Master. So at first, when the residents of Vaikuntha spoke like that, he felt very embarrassed. And then he felt satisfied, although in truth, the inner core of my heart was not fully appeased. So he says that, I felt somewhat discouraged that I couldn't see the unique form, pastimes, and other features of the lotus feet of my worshipable Lord Sri Gopal. But then he would see Lord Vaikunthanath, the most exalted knower of everything, as the darling son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Lakshmi as Dhara, as Radhika and Chandravali. Lakshmi and Dhara as Radhika and Chandravali, and see the Lord's personal attendants as the young boys of Braja. So knowing his heart, the Lord would fulfill his desire also. He would appear to him in that form, like he would appear as Gopal and his two consorts, Sri Devi and Bhudevi, or Lakshmi or Dhara as Radhika and Chandravali, and all his associates as the cowherd boys. But still his mind was not fully satisfied. Because although he saw them as Lord as Gopal and Lakshmi and Radha as Radha and the others as cowherd boy, but they were not playing like the way the Lord played in Vrindavan. Yes. Couldn't see the Lord and his companions play as they do here in the land of Braja. Occasionally in the gardens of Vaikuntha, I would see my Lord appear as in Braja, performing his pastimes, and I would see the gardens filled with herds of cows. At other times, I would see him sitting as usual on his throne in all splendor, but looking just like my Lord Gopal. Even in his royal throne also, he would see him as Gopal. Even so, because I knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because I remembered that I had come to Vaikuntha Loka, feeling of respect and reverence would arise in me, and these would block my pure love and leave my mind dissatisfied. Anyway, so this is how he was spending his time in Vaikuntha. Whenever it seemed, Gop Kumar is saying, whenever it seemed that I had not achieved the object of my desire, and when my heart would therefore suffer like many times before, I would remember the root cause of my incompleteness, and that understanding itself would drive away the pain. And he would tell himself, have not the slightest doubt, there is no attainment more desirable than living here in Vaikuntha. So why even raise the question? And he would tell himself, O fickle heart, now use your intelligence, therefore, to cast this lower nature far away. It doesn't belong here. There is nothing greater than to reside in Vaikuntha, no greater goal. Consider the hundreds of arguments that supports this truth and achieve the highest peace. In this way, he stayed in Vaikuntha, sometimes joyful and sometimes disturbed. Then one day Narad found him in a secluded place. So Narad Muni, and the great master Narad told him, my dear son of a cowherd, you have received the mercy of the divine lord of Vaikuntha, yet from signs like the paleness of your face, you appear depressed, like someone suffering misfortune. Please tell me, what scope could there be for pain and sorrow here? I am most curious, because here I have never seen anyone in such a state. And then Gop Kumar said, I was most fortunate to meet the greatest authority, the most reliable of well-wishers, and who was equal to my guru. And so I fully disclosed to him what was in my heart. So he told him everything. And hearing that, Narad Muni sighed a little, glanced around, drew him near, and compassionately spoke to him in a soft voice. He told him, by a chain of logical reasoning, that he has concluded that nothing is higher to achieve than this abode. And he was certainly correct. The truth cannot be other than this. Even so, you desire to see with your own eyes the same pleasure pastimes of the Lord you worship that appear to you in meditation. You want to see those pastimes here in Vaikuntha and in full detail. Those pastimes give even the Lord Himself the greatest pleasure. They enchant the heart. But only by a special kind of love can they be perceived. They are the most confidential mystery. One can approach them only with the highest degree of prema, like that of the residents of Vraja. Surely those pastimes can never be seen by persons like me. It is in a certain world, somewhere above all others, that those pastimes are to be seen, enchanting the Lord's devotees. But by your bhakti for the Lord of the creation, you have come to Vaikuntha. How can you so see those pastimes here? Put aside all this lamentation and just see the divine master of Vaikuntha as the same Lord you cherish. Don't consider them two different persons. So in this way Narad Muni advised him, pointing out that although those pastimes are, he also is saying the same thing actually, that those pastimes are naturally very wonderful and they give pleasure, that lost pastimes in Vrindavan. But that here in Vaikuntha, he is the Supreme Lord. And those activities, although they give him also pleasure, but they are just matter of his pastimes. Then he pointed out that in Vaikuntha each devotee sees the Supreme Lord, Sri Narayan, manifest as the particular Lord he worships with a form of suitable complexion and other qualities. These devotees still see their own worshipable Lord with all his unique features they found charming. Thus they worship their favorite form of the Lord in the places where he resides, his opulent cities and other abodes, and expand the ocean of happiness. And that one Lord of Vaikuntha, Sri Krishna, resides in various places and appears in many forms just to give pleasure to all his multitude of devotees. So then he explains how the Lord's pastimes are arranged by Lord's internal potency, Yogamaya. Then Narada Muni continued to advise him, Krishna alone is the source of all incarnations of Godhead. By his infinitely various excellences, distinct from those of everyone else, he is always supreme. Those excellences are known by the term bhaga. And Krishna is different from Narayan. For when Krishna appears in his descent in the material world, he fully manifests the many unique glories that distinguish Krishna alone. Charming, attractive glories that can be known only to hearts softened by prema bhakti. According to the way one worships, the Lord averts different results. One who thus reaches the goal he has pursued never feels discontent. The Lord's pastimes expand in unlimited variety. His mind is deeper than millions of oceans. The opulence of his diverse pastimes attract his devotees to him in so many ways. Who can understand him by speculation? Though all these devotees are equal to the Supreme Lord in being eternal, there is still a natural distinction between the servant and the served. This distinction is eternal and real. Then Gop Kumar asked Narad Muni, My Lord, divine deity forms of the Supreme Lord, like Lord Purushottam, the master of Niladri, are present on earth, and you consider them embodiment of eternity, knowledge and bliss? The one personality of Godhead, whose body is always Satchidananda, mercifully enacts the pastimes of being present in various places, in various forms. What then could be wrong with worshipping those forms, disregarding everything else? I would think that no matter how this was done, it would bring great benefit. But why, therefore, do we hear different opinions about this form of the Puranas, from the Puranas, the Puranic statements coming as they do from the mouths of exalted souls cannot be less than authority. Then Narad Muni answered, "The deity forms I have mentioned are all equal to the original personality of Godhead. There is no need to even mention the glories of worshipping them. Persons who worship the Lord's deity, be it ancient, new, or even concocted, provided they worship the deity as being directly the Lord Himself, will not fall down from the religious status or be otherwise at fault. One can reach perfection by honoring even a blade of grass, provided one sees within it the presence of the Supreme Lord, or by just one's uttering or hearing even a faint semblance of the Lord's name. How then can one find fault in worshipping the deity in whom the Lord personally appears, who evokes remembrance of the Lord, who has been consecrated by mantras, and who is the receiver of all kinds of devotional service?" When the Puranas and other scriptures make statements that belittle deity worship, you should understand that all such statements refer to those particular worshippers, not to all devotees. Pure devotees, after all, think that seeing the Lord constantly, attaining bliss from taking part of His pastimes, and relishing subsequent pleasure are the fruit of devotional service and is the root as well. By the mercy of devotional service, the personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, becomes subordinate to His devotees. So, only once in a while does the Supreme Lord give bhakti, and only to a rare intelligent person who desires only that, indifferent to the opinions of the world. So, these instructions of Narad Muni greatly enlivened Gop Kumar, whose heart was full of anxiety and eagerness. And he became attracted to see the lotus feet of Gopal, his worshipable Lord. Then Narad Muni, seeing that his condition, told him, "Although this topic is most confidential and should not be talked about here, by the weight of your anxiety, I am being forced to speak openly. Far from here lies Ayodhya, the splendid city of Raghupati, the divine master of the Raghu dynasty, and beyond that shines the city of Dwarka, dear to the divine master of the Jadus. Dwarka resembles the blessed and charming Mathura. Go to that Dwarka and worship with your eyes your beloved Lord." So in this way he was directed to Ayodhya, where Lord Ramchandra is presiding. So finally, Ayodhya, Dwarka and other such abodes are all regions of Vaikuntha. Surely therefore you need not take permission from the Lord of Vaikuntha to leave and go there. Overjoyed at hearing that, Gop Kumar bowed down repeatedly to Sri Narada took his blessings and set out, remembering his instructions. After traveling a long way, he saw forest monkeys restlessly jumping here and there and shouting, "Ram, Ram." And as he moved forward, they gathered around him and tried to grab his flute from his hand. Then he saw some human beings who were even more beautiful than the associates of the Lord in Vaikuntha. Those men, in behavior like the best of civilized persons, could not tolerate my being down to bowing down to them and showing other signs of respect. They brought him to the outer boundary of the city and through an entrance gate. There he saw Bharat with Satrughna, seated comfortably with monkeys like Sugriv, Angad and Jambavan, and surrounded by many handsome men. Thinking Bharat to be Ramchandra, Lord of the Raghus, he recited prayers addressed to the Lord, but Bharat covered his ears and repeatedly forbade him, saying, I am only a servant. So, afraid, he stood before Lord Bharat with joined palms. Hanuman then quickly made him leave that place and enter the inner precincts of the city, where he saw the most amazing sight, the Supreme Lord in his form as the best of human beings. He sat comfortably on a royal throne in the best of palaces, a palace full in all charming attractions. Happy and marked with all the signs of a great personage, he seemed somewhat like Lord Narayan. So, overwhelmed by greatest joy, Gop Kumar bowed down again and again, saying, "All glories, all glories." Then the soft-hearted Lord soothed him fully with the gentle nectar of his supremely impressive words. The Supreme Lord said, "My dear son of a cowherd, my best friend, well done, well done. By showing such affection, you have conquered me. Enough with all these exertions. Now just relax. You have made me, your dear friend, unhappy for long enough. Please get up, get up. All good fortune to you. Give up this formal respect. Dear friend, I am always controlled by such pure love as yours." Then on the Lord, order of the Lord, Hanuman then raised him from the ground and brought him by force to where the Lord was resting, to his sacred feet. So Gop Kumar stayed in Ayodhya for some time, as before in his own dress as a cowherd boy, and the fullness of bliss that he tasted melted his heart. But he did not see the sweetness he found within the varied playful pastimes of his worshipable deity, Madan Gopal. Nor did he find his special mercy. Thus, even there in Ayodhya, he seemed unhappy. But by hearing from Sri Hanuman the glories of Sri Ramchandra's lotus feet, and by directly seeing Lord Ram himself, he dispelled that mental distress, and he imagined Lord Ramchandra to have all the qualities of his own worshipable deity. But Lord Ramchandra noticed his discontent in his heart and his eagerness to see Krishna, Gopal. So, Lord Ramchandra, whose heart is tender with unlimited compassion and he knows the mind of everyone in the world, consoled him with words of gentle affection and told him, go to Dwarka and be happy, he ordered. And he sent him off together with the chief of the bears, Jambavan. So this one, major part of the thing I just read, because all these instructions are so important that I just didn't want to quickly go through them in the form of a... So these instructions, like why he was... first of all, the Vaikuntha being the... Although it is a spiritual world, where the Lord is eternally present as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but there the worship of the Lord is in awe and reverence. And this awe and reverence doesn't allow the loving relationship to develop. That is what is the thing to understand. Like Gop Kumar's relationship with Krishna is with pure love. But when you see the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to deal with Him in that loving way doesn't become possible. It's like when you know that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can't treat Him in an intimate way like a friend or like a lover. And so He is going through those regions, but still His heart is not fully satisfied. And this is the difference between Vaikuntha and Vrindavan. Vaikuntha is the region of awe and reverence. Why? Because the Lord is there. Lord there is the Supreme Lord. So relationship is like that of a master and servant. So a servant cannot treat the master as a friend. But there is another region which is even higher, which is even beyond that region, where the Lord is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but He is just a cowherd boy. So you may not develop your loving relationship with the Lord, but there is no harm, no difficulty in developing that relationship with a cowherd boy. So, okay. So, does anybody have any question? Yes?
Maharaj, like the residents of Vaikuntha, the Vishnu-Rudas, are they always satisfied being in the position of servitorship, or will they even... point will come that they'll also want to go to Ayodhya?
No. In the spiritual world, in whatever situation one is, he's perfectly happy in that situation. Whatever one's relationship with the Lord is perfectly happy in that situation. And that relationship or that identity in Vaikuntha is eternal. It's eternal. Now we see the difference with Gop Kumar. Like he didn't want to assume that Vaikuntha form. Like he retained his human-like form. He didn't assume the spiritual form. Although his form is spiritual, but he assumed he maintained his form as a cowherd boy. So that is actually an indication that his constitutional position was not in Vaikuntha. His constitutional situation was in Vrindavan. But in Vaikuntha, everyone is perfectly happy. They're doing what they're doing. The relationship that they have with the Lord. Jar jai rosh hai, Shei Sarvottam. Whatever is the mellow of relationship with the Lord, he thinks that is the perfect, that's the highest. Yes, Bharat.
stage to the other, for the material being, renounce the material life and then went up and up. Does every individual go through the same process, or they might skip a process? Or
you see, it's not that everyone will go the same way, back to the spiritual world. You know, this is one person's journey. Like in some other cases, it may be just like waking up from a dream. Like, you know, to him it will appear that this existence was like a dream. And when you wake up from a dream into the reality, the dream fades away. So similarly, when we enter, in some cases, when we enter into the spiritual world, it will be like that. Just like waking up from a dream and being situated in your constitutional spiritual position.
Ramas, because you always tell us about Krishna's mercy and that can resolve so many things for us, because we're all so hopeless and fallen and so many shortcomings. And I find that very helpful to know that, you know, with Krishna's mercy, seeing the genuineness in the heart, that we can move through all this material nonsense in a different way than having to go so tediously, you know, from
well, it'll depend upon your journey. Some will hitchhike and some will fly in a plane. But I tell you, hitchhiking has its own charm. Some will go drive in a car. Some will go in a cruise. Some will go in a train. I mean, like, not that everyone will go the same way. But for everyone, it is a remarkable experience. Because, first of all, you know, like, one is not being forced. One is voluntarily accepting this journey. Those who want to remain in the material nature, it's fine. Stay here. For zillions of lifetimes, no problem, right? But those rare individuals who want to, you know, who recognize his spiritual identity, who recognize his spiritual need, and this way, when he recognizes the need to be related to the Supreme Lord and go back to him, they have a specific journey to trade.
I was just reading a little bit of one of your talks on the Srimad Bhagavatam this morning, and it was about King Bharat and how he got attached to the deer. You know, and he was this great king, and he, at the right time in his life, he left everything, and then there's still this attachment. And you think, wow, how are we ever going to out of this crazy world?
The thing is, here we have to see that the Lord actually helps one who is eager to go back to him. This journey is not a kind of a self-designed journey. It is actually being guided also by the Lord and his representatives, starting with the spiritual master. So one is being guided, and then in course also one is... So here, as you said, Bharat, the problem with Bharat Maharaj was that his spiritual master was not there. Right? If his spiritual master was there, he would have told him. He would have told him, why are you getting attached to this? Yeah. Right? So that is the thing. That's one way of looking at it.
I mean, in a way, it's a bit like he got lonely. You know, it was like going to the Himalayas, he got lonely.
Yeah.
The deer came and he thing.
Right.
It's almost, you know, like,
but the other way to look at it is that by making him go through that experience, getting into a deer body, all his karma was burnt out. That's also Lord's mercy. That's another way of looking at it. Just in one lifetime, all his karmic reactions are burnt out. Now he is born as a pure devotee, as Jarabharat.
And then that brings me to the next question, because I'm not sure, but I've got a vague understanding that we all need to aspire to be like the Goswamis in a sense, very, very renounced and, you know, totally focused on Krishna.
See, the ultimate consideration of renouncement is not the renouncement of the situation, but detachment in the heart. Like, you know, you mentioned King Bharat. He was a king. He left everything. Right? So that is one kind of renunciation. He's leaving his opulent environment, opulent situation. But another situation can be one maybe living in the middle of, you know, the opulence, but not being affected. Like Yudhishthir Maharaj. When he is, you know, in a course of destiny, when he is in the forest, he's fine. When he is the ruler of the entire earth planet, also fine. So that is the inner attitude of a devotee. Now, whichever situation you want to place me is fine, as long as I can continue to serve you. That is his main concern. What's the point in leaving everything, and along with that you leave his service also? Another consideration here is, say, a very wealthy person has two servants. One servant, he doesn't touch anything, he doesn't eat anything, but he doesn't render any service to the master. Another servant, he eats like, and he sleeps like a log, but he serves the Lord, serves his master with utmost dedication and sincerity. Now, who is a better servant? So, you know, the master doesn't see how much he's eating, right? Because he has so much. But, you know, like, for his concern is how one is serving him.
Guru Maharaj, the Lord of Vaikuntha, he informed Gokumar that I wanted you to come back. So I took birth as your spiritual master. Like,
not Jay, I appeared.
Yeah. So what is this? Is this situation true with us?
After all, Lord of Vaikuntha, Narayan and Krishna, the same person, only two different situations.
So
the same
spiritual master.
Yeah.
For us,
so we have, here we have to understand that the Lord appeared as a spiritual master to guide him. And the other way to look at it is that a disciple sees the Lord as, sees the spiritual master as the Lord himself. Shakshad Harityena Shamasta Shastri. And that way, his representative and himself, he doesn't make any distinction.
Yesterday, we were discussing about that. If our one sense is engaged with Krishna consciousness, we hear anything, so all senses become one sense, like our ear, so all senses.
Okay, yeah.
But sometimes we heard all senses must be engaged to Krishna consciousness.
That's how it become engaged. Like, how does the sense work? Like, when you are completely absorbed in something very beautiful, then do your other senses work? You are seeing something very beautiful. Do you hear any sound? Or you are hearing some beautiful music. Do you see what's in front of your eyes? So that's what has been, like, the sight of the Lord was so attractive, so enchanting. It seems as if all the other senses just become eyes. Similarly, when the Lord plays the flute, the sound of His flute is so beautiful, it seems that all other senses are just converging into ears. Ultimately, what is the center of the senses? The mind. So when wherever the mind is, that is perceived. Okay? When your mind is in hearing, you hear. When your mind is not in hearing, the sound may be there, but you aren't. Right? Similarly, when your mind is with your vision, tuned to your vision, then you see. That's where the mind is, the inner sense. Yes, Bharat. You see, I mean, you can see the trend. See, the trend is, first thing, the first spiritual aspect is receiving the mantra. And then as one meditates on the mantra, then the rest begins to happen. You meditate on the mantra, then detachment automatically takes place. Because, you see, when you get the higher taste, automatically you lose the lower taste. Right? So along with that chanting of the mantra, knowledge automatically develops from within. Because realizations take place, you know, as if it's happening from within. So, you know, these are like starting off with the mantra, and the rest is happening by the divine arrangement of the Lord. Like as those Vishnu Dutas told when He made them in Shivaloka. Not in Shivaloka, exactly. In Brahma Jyoti region. They told Him that we've been sent by the Lord to you. We have come here because of you. To help you. So this is how the Lord helps. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Latavi. Even the getting the guru is a manifestation of Lord's mercy.
When Prabhupada says that 70% no less, and then he says chant 16 rounds nicely and follow the four regs, so does that mean, and comparing that to Gopakumar's journey, and then he says the success is guaranteed, does that mean that maybe that is the express way, because your guru is there, Prabhupada's there, and there is this express
way. Prabhupada said that. Prabhupada also said, chant 16 round, follow the four regulative principles, you'll make it.
Yeah.
Right. Prabhupada also said that you may forget Krishna, but Krishna will remember you. So, you know, like, I mean, sometimes He said something for us to become more serious. But ultimately, it's all matter of mercy. can we, by our own endeavor, go there? As I gave the example the other day, the spark came out of the fire, fell on the heap of ash, became ash. Now, in order to become fire again, it has to go back to fire. But can the spark itself, that inflammable speck of inflammable object, can it go to the back to the fire by itself? Somebody has to. Similarly, somebody has to take us there. On our own, we cannot. And ultimately, Lord Himself helps us. Krishna Himself helps us.
Guruji, just to go back to that, then it comes back to really we just need to have that desire in our heart to constantly serve Krishna. And depending, doesn't matter what the outward situation is.
Yeah, again, I'll go back to that other example that I gave. The child wanted to play. I said, "Daddy, Daddy, I want to go and play with my friends." So father said, "Come." He takes him to the park. The child found his friends and completely lost in his playful acts, playing with his friends. But then when it's dark, everyone left, he calls out, "Daddy, Daddy, where are you?" The father comes, picks him up and says, "Let's go home." So, all it needs is just to call out, "Daddy, Daddy, where are you?" Okay. David, do you have any question? So, how did you like it?
It's very interesting.
Thank you. You know, like... through a story, we are actually dealing with the highest spiritual philosophy. Like, his simple consideration is that we are not this body. Right? I mean, this understanding, say for example, say I'm here, I'm talking to you all, but if I drop dead now, if I die, my body will be lying here. But everyone will say, "He is gone." So who is he? His departure from this body made the body die, made the body become dead. And that is the soul. Right? So, now the informations about the soul is actually the spiritual quest. Like, what is the nature of the soul? The first thing, first consideration. The soul's presence in the body made the body alive. Isn't it? This body made of matter. Matter by nature is inert. This body made of inert matter or dead matter became alive because of the presence of the soul. Right? And when the soul leaves the body dies. Who dies? The body. Who is born? The body. But the soul is beyond birth and death. This is one of the characteristics of the soul. And the soul is our real me. When I say I actually identify, although initially I think, I am this body, but actually we are identifying ourselves with the soul. And so, you know, the informations about the soul, soul's nature, where the soul came from, what is the goal, all the informations are there. It's just a matter of becoming acquainted with those informations and practicing to achieve that. Where do you live in Sydney?
A place called Newport.
Newport?
Nearby, about 15 minutes.
Okay. She lives in North Sydney.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah. So stay in touch. Huh?
I should. Yes.
Yeah, please. So you also stay in touch. We come from long distance. Most of us. But there are some from Sydney.
Where do you stay?
Well, I live in America.
Oh.
But I'm from India. Yeah. Orlando, Florida. Oh, in India. I'm from Bengal. Calcutta. Yeah. You've been to Calcutta?
I have, but you didn't say Calcutta.
Oh, okay.
I like that. I like the
old name. Okay, well, yeah. Okay, what takes you there?
When I was younger, I traveled.
Oh, okay, okay.
I
see. Okay, yeah. That was the place where young Westerners used to go those days. What about Benares?
Also. Yes.
What about Pokhara?
Yes.
Okay.
Mostly I can say yes.
Yeah. Okay. And then did you travel to Europe? Okay. And through, how did you travel? Through Afghanistan?
Yes, I did. I saw the
okay, right, yeah. Yeah, it's a pity that they destroyed that, yeah, right. And then to Iran?
Very quickly
to Iran.
Mashhad. I spent a lot of time. Oh, I really didn't spend much time.
I see.
I spent a lot of time.
Oh, I see. What about Turkey?
Sorry?
What about Turkey? Istanbul?
Istanbul,
yeah, because that was the regular route. Do you remember Pudding Shop?
I know of it, but I didn't visit.
Okay. Blue Mosque?
I went to the mosque.
Yeah. Yeah, Hagia Sophia.
Yeah.
Blue Mosque, yeah. Very good. And then what, Saloniki?
Yes. That's my journey. Forever. You'll be here at
4 o'clock. Okay. Very good, yeah. Which year was that you were traveling?
1975, 76.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I did it in 70.
I'm sure we can talk a lot about that.
Well, that's a life which is left far behind.
It's changed a lot since we were there.
And what do you do?
I'm retired now.
Okay. And what you used to do?
I used to work with a mobile phone company.
Oh. I see. It was so nice that you came.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.